So 2 Corinthians, we went through 1 Corinthians, and then we went back to Numbers, and now we're back to 2 Corinthians. And the only context I'm going to give you is that this church in Corinth is incredibly messed up. We should be able to identify with them. If you remember 1 Corinthians, it was like one issue after another. And essentially, Paul is writing another letter because all the issues didn't get resolved. There's still issues with this church in Corinth. All right? And you're going to see he just goes, again, one issue after another. And there's so much we can get out of it. And so that's the context I'm going to give you, because we'll get more of it as we go through. So again, it's written by a guy named Paul. He was actually started this church. He was with these people, had left, heard about problems, wrote a letter, went back and visited for a short period of time, left again, wrote another letter. Okay, and these letters were meant to be read by the church to get an idea of what was going on. All right, so here we go. We're gonna go through only the first 11 verses in the first chapter, and for the most part, we're going to go verse by verse, especially in the first 7 verses, and just take a look at what God's saying there. So here we go. Let me read the first part. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. I am writing to God's church in Corinth and to all of his holy people throughout Greece. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and mercy. Okay, the first issue, go ahead, Liz, is dealing with this idea of Paul being an apostle. You're going to see later in the chapters that there was a group of people in Corinth who are essentially saying, don't listen to Paul. And oftentimes these people are referred to as Judaizers, because they were essentially saying, you have to add something to Christ to make yourself right. Okay, and Paul's going to address that later, and we're going to see that. But an apostle is one sent forth with orders. And that's what Paul was. He was an apostle. He was sent forth with orders to go and preach God's word. And he was, you can see, it wasn't necessarily his choice. He was picked by God for this role. And the other thing is, there's only 12 other people that had this position. Okay? So he's laying that out at the very beginning, because you're going to see later in this letter, which again was kind of meant to be read all at one time, he's going to really go back and address that point, that no, I am one of the apostles, and I do have authority in what I'm saying. Okay, so that's why that's right there in the beginning. All right, let's go to the third verse. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Okay, so go ahead and next slide. If you see here, all praise to God. That's an interesting concept. Go ahead, next slide. The word there for praise is actually adored be God. So it's this adoration for God. It's beyond just saying, oh, praise God, you know, like your grandmother might say. This is Paul saying, with an expression that we don't use, with this highest level of respect, veneration, is respect and thankfulness. So it's Paul starting off with this idea that praise God, all praise go to God. And if you read Paul's letters, you know he understood that. And it's really interesting that he's talking about all of this respect and thankfulness go to God in light of what he's going to talk about next, which is suffering. And I think it's real important that you see where his mindset is. His mindset about who God is one of just adoration. It's one of just loving God. And I know it's easy and quick for me to lose that type of focus. Like, you know, if I would write out a letter to somebody, I highly doubt I would just start off talking about, man, praise God. And not just like a casual praise God, but be like, I can't believe what God has done in my life. I'm so thankful. I just adore what God has done. Okay? So, this letter essentially starts off with this important fact, adored be God. Okay, next. And we see the source of all comfort. Now, here's what's amazing. To me, think about this for a minute. A book written thousands of years ago. And I think of how hard life probably was then. Just to get food and water. Just a grind. And then I think of how far we've come today. And I would think those people looking forward to what we have today as far as food and luxuries and just like our environment like not changing more than 5 degrees because of, you know, having homes and heaters and coolers and all this stuff. I would think they would look forward and say, you know, they're going to have a pretty good life. In fact, I doubt there's going to be any suffering. The amazing thing is you see that regardless of how good we have it, suffering has not gone away. I'm just blown away by people that live in urban areas surrounded by thousands of and millions of people. They have access on the internet to thousands of friends, but yet suffer in loneliness. You could have never predicted that. Okay, so it amazes me that this book written this long ago applies to us right here, right now. We're all either suffering right now, have suffered, or are going to suffer. So you see that he's saying this God of mercy and the source of all comfort. And this scares me a little bit because if someone says, you know, hey, when things go bad, how are you comforting? I would probably list about 4 or 5 things until I realize, oh yeah, and I'd probably pray or something. Right? I mean, where do you go for comfort? You know, what do you do? Because we all have issues. And what Paul is saying is that we need to be going to God. Okay? And again, we can all relate to this. This word comfort, this is taken from Sonic Light, Dr. Constable. That word, parakales, is the Greek word. And you're going to see, I'll point out to you in your Bible, that word is actually mentioned often. Okay, so anyway, this comfort is a key word in this section. It's really important. This is all we're going to talk about today, comfort and suffering. Okay? This Greek word means much more than sympathy. It communicates the idea of one person standing alongside another to encourage and support his friend. That's what kind of comfort we're talking about. Okay? The same root word also, this is amazing to me, describes the Holy Spirit. We'll look at that verse, and Jesus. So I'm going to go to John, Matthew 19, John 14, and I'll read this section to you. 16 through 17, it says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. And then there's a little asterisk for that word advocate. And if you go down in your Bible, oh my goodness, this is really small font. Verse 16. Anyway, if you have more light and everything, you can see. Oh yeah, right there, way down at the bottom. Mine says 4:16. Instead of advocate, it could say, or comforter, or encourager, or counselor. Because that root word is the same word. If you go and do a little study and you hold it over that word, it will pop up. Parakaleos instead of parakaleos. It's a very similar word. So you see there that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is saying, I'm going to leave another, which is the advocate, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be with you. Okay, so you have God the Father saying he's source of all comfort. you have the Holy Spirit who's saying He is the source of comfort. And then you look in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says this: "My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, he has an advocate who pleads our case before the Father." And again, that word advocate means comforter. It's the same word that the Holy Spirit. So you have this picture that you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all working together to comfort us. That's an amazing picture to me, one that I didn't realize. Okay? And then I'm going to give away where this is going, but think about this. As we grow, we're to become more like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're to become more like Christ. And part of that's going to be, we are to become comforters to others. Okay? Amazing. All right, let's go to this next section. All right, this section that we're going to talk about, I got to give a disclaimer here, is not talking about suffering caused by your own doing. Okay? I've read it before. Proverbs 19:3 essentially says you keep messing up your life by making bad decisions and then you blame God. Okay, no, that doesn't work. Okay? When there's consequences to your actions, I'm not talking about that suffering. Right? If you're married and you're sleeping around on your wife or husband and your relationship isn't so good with your spouse, that's your fault. Okay? All right, so instead, what we're talking about is suffering for doing good. And you know that. Where like you really go to help somebody and then they are furious with you. Okay, you had good intentions. I remember one time, long time ago, I'll keep it vague so it's no one here, but anyway. Someone, their house was in a difficult situation, and anyway, carpet would have made a difference. So I was like, you know what, let's see if the church can get carpet for this family. Make a big impact. The kids were literally sleeping on subfloor. Okay? So we got it arranged to buy carpet and move it in, and this family was very, very upset. Because, you know, I probably didn't do my end right in, you know, checking with them and seeing if that's something they'd want to do, because they felt, I don't know, I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But the point is, you know, I was a little bummed that here I was trying to do good and these people were furious and mad at me and all this. Okay, that's probably more what God's, or this section is talking about. Suffering for doing good. All right, here we go. So here's the big question. I told you that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all are actively comforting us as we are all going through life. Trials, tribulations, you all are suffering. Okay? Why does God comfort us? Let's read it. Let me go back to 2 Corinthians. It's kind of a big answer here. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. There you go. Okay, there's the answer to why God is actively comforting you. Here it is. We suffer. Okay, three bullet points of your life. We suffer. You suffer. Okay, I suffer. We get comforted by God. Christianity, if it's ever a self-focus, it's probably wrong. So in other words, if you just stop at that second bullet point, it's wrong. Because the focus is this: me. Oh man, my life stinks, it's really hard, and I'm trying to do good, and bad things are happening, but God comforts me, so I'm happy. Yes! Love this relationship with Jesus. Keep it going. No. If you look at anything you receive, you're to be like God, and that is to then give. Same thing. If you've had a hard life and you've received lots of comfort through that, great. Now go comfort others. If you are constantly taking and never giving, it's wrong. Okay? So, connect this to Romans, which we've read several times, but I'm really starting to get more a more clear picture of this. This is actually talking about gifts given, but I think if you even apply this idea of comforting others, it fits here. Let me read it again to you. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. I believe this is another aspect of being in community. So, sitting here, you've struggled. You've been comforted. Very hard to then go and comfort others in this environment. This is why we say many times, you should be involved in a house church or some sort of small group. Okay? Because in that environment, you can hear people saying, man, it's just a struggle. I'm struggling with this health issue and I don't have the right attitude and I'm getting mad. Then you can come along that person. Yeah, I've had issues too. I've suffered through that. And here's what I've found through that suffering. Okay? Here, you can't get that. Okay? So I just, again, encourage you. I know many of you are involved. I want to continue to encourage you to continue to be involved. And think of this aspect. In your trials, you've been comforted. Now go and comfort someone in your group or your neighbor or someone else near you. Okay? All right, next. Let me read verse 5. For the more we suffer for God, the more God will shower us with His comfort through Christ. Go ahead. So regardless of how great our suffering for Christ may be, God will not only match them, but exceed them with His comfort, strength, and encouragement. That's encouraging to know. That there's not a point where you can out-suffer God's comfort. Okay? And again, I hesitate to say a lot of stuff on this topic, because I know some people have really suffered, you know, a lot more than I have ever suffered, and I don't want to just give these quick little answers and be like, oh yeah, well, God's going to cover you more than you suffered, so there, take that. Okay? I don't want to diminish your suffering. Okay? I don't want to pretend that it's not like something that keeps you up at night. It's something that when you wake up, you're thinking about. It could be a health issue that, you know, every single minute is just hard. Okay? Again, I don't want to diminish that by just saying, well, there you go. There's a verse for you. But I do want to tell you what God says about it. Okay? And hopefully people can come around you and comfort you. And again, think about why, so that you can then go and comfort others. What an amazing perspective on suffering. Yeah. All right, next verse. Verse 6. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. So again, you continually see this idea of working it out. Okay, Paul endured suffering for the comfort and salvation of his brethren in Corinth. It was not an easy trip to get to the town that these people were in. Okay, he went through a lot. We're going to see it's listed later. I mean, he went through a lot. In fact, later in this section, he even says, you know, he thought he was dead. He thought it was over. Okay, so when he says he endured suffering, he really suffered. More than just like, oh, my schedule got a little messed up today, suffering that we experience, right? Like when we try to have lunch with someone who's suffering and we're like, gee, oh, whatever, I'll suffer through having a meal given to me while I listen to you talk. Okay, Paul went through a little different suffering than that, right? Okay, verse 7. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. Okay, so here's an interesting idea. By avoiding suffering at all costs, which is essentially, how do I want to say this? In some ways, isn't that good parenting in our culture to eliminate any suffering at all in our kids' lives? Right? I know I kind of had that mindset. And is that really doing any good to the kid? And then you think of ourselves. So I kind of have a tendency to do that to my kids to eliminate any suffering. And then I think of my own life, how much work I go through to eliminate any suffering or to avoid any suffering. Right? I'm pretty active at that. Okay? You could miss out on experiencing God through His comfort. That's interesting. Like, there's one of the ways in which God says He's going to actively be involved in your life, and that is by comforting you. And my response is, thanks, but I'm going to make sure I never suffer. Right? So as a result, we're kind of like, where are you, God? He's not around. As I choose to make decisions independent of Him and suffer consequences to that, instead of having a mindset like 1 Peter 4, I think it says, taking on the mind of suffering as Christ. So having this willingness to suffer and then going into situations, willing to suffer in those situations, and then seeing God comfort you through those, being like, man, I got to experience God again today. Much different than the attitude I tend to have. Right? So some of us are like, you know, I just don't see God anywhere, but yet maybe it's because we're avoiding doing some work that would require a little bit of suffering. I'll talk more about that in a little bit if we have time. I have some things I want to read to you. Let me jump to verse 9. In fact, he's talking about his trip. We expected to die. That's a bad day. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. So, you know, I don't know how often you get to this point, but usually suffering is one of the few ways to get you to this point to stop relying on yourself. I get a little extreme when I get sick, but sometimes when I get, because my wife makes fun of me because I moan, and I think I'm going to die when I'm sick, okay? And it used to happen every year, and as I'm, like, laying there, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can see how people are like, okay, I'm ready to go. You know, I'm like, I'm just there, and I just have a little, you know, fever or something, but I'm like, oh man, this is it, it's over. It's like, it's okay. But my point is, at that point, that's it. I've convinced I'm going to die, and I just kind of let it go. As far as this idea of, I stopped relying on myself. Okay? And what Paul's saying is it would be great to constantly have that mindset of just constantly stop relying on yourself, go through life, let God comfort you, and just keep on going. He's like that. He goes, that's when I really identified it. Okay, when he was ready to die, or thought he was going to die, I should say. All right, go ahead, is there? Okay. So that is essentially it for that section. Now, I want to bring up about two or three things. Because I know you're sitting here, and some of you, as I mentioned several times, are suffering a great deal. The first thing I want to do is recommend a book simply based on a guy that I trust, who is Tim Keller. And I've read parts of this book, and I watched him talk about this book, and it's very, very good. So I want to offer this resource to you if you feel, you know, that this is a topic that really resonates with you as far as suffering goes. This may be a real good resource. And he, I'll just mention some practical things to you. I wrote down some notes as I was listening to him talk. And so the question was, how do you deal with pain and suffering? Okay. And he said that he has found that there's four components that work together to get you to walk through pain and suffering. And I thought it was interesting. And a lot of pain and suffering goes back to looking at Job's life. If you're not familiar with that, I encourage you to check out Job's life as you're suffering. It's amazing. Amazing what his story is. Anyway, he said that the first thing is be honest. Don't pretend you're not suffering. Be honest. He says, weep and be honest. Oh, he's saying this idea of crying out. Like, don't deny that it's happening. Okay? The second point that he made was, and again, this isn't like four steps to happiness. Okay? These are just four observations that I want to give you as we talk about being comforted. He said, pray and stay close. He said he saw this interesting point about Job's life. And that was, as a story is laid out, all of his complaining was in front of God. Which is a really interesting point. So he wasn't like belly aching about how hard his life is. And again, Job had a hard life. Okay? But they said that all of his complaining, this being honest, and then it led to him essentially by all of his complaining being done in front of God, that is prayer. He constantly had God involved in it. What is going on? Why is this happening to me? While his friends are telling him, well, it's because of this reason, that reason, and you know, everybody's like telling him, here's the answer. And they were all wrong. But his response was, he just kept his eyes focused on God. The third thing. It says, suffering can be aggravated because we love something more than God. It can reorder our loves. So he was saying this, that suffering can kind of identify. He gave the example of a girlfriend, boyfriend, they break up. And we'll say, you know, his world is just destroyed. He can't go on. He's saying, well, what that's doing is it's causing you to rethink some of the things that are in your heart. So that suffering may just be God reorganizing priorities. Okay? So he's saying, be aware of that. And then the last one he was saying was this idea of just keeping a sense of God's love on the cross and that he suffered for us, and that as we keep our eyes on the cross, it allows us to go through suffering with a little more purpose, with a little more comfort, knowing that God has done that same thing. Anyway, that book offers a lot more. And you know, I hesitate to even say anything because, like he said, I would encourage you, again, if suffering is something that you're thinking about, type in Tim Keller, Suffering MIT, in YouTube. And there's about 10 clips of, that's another one, but that's okay, I'll get to that in a second. There's about 10 clips of him talking to these students at MIT. And the one woman, or the woman who's reading the questions, the students gave questions, she's reading them. She says, you know, I find out my friend has brain cancer. They have like 4 months to live. What do you say to him? And Tim Keller did a great job giving this story about how something like that happened. And the one person meant well, but talk the whole time. Oh, this is, you know, all things work together for the good, for those who love God. You know, suffering produces righteousness. This is something we all go through. It's good. Blah, 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 blah. Then the guy said about how he just couldn't wait for him to leave. The guy who had the cancer was like, I can't wait for him to leave. Just get away. You're driving me nuts. The second person, Cain. I'm trying to think how. So he came and essentially he just listened, spoke when asked a question, and just listened some more. And the guy said how he wanted him to stay there. Tim Keller is making the point that walking with somebody through suffering doesn't mean you have all the answers. It means you're there with them as a friend, listening to them. And I think that that's real practical for us as we listen to what this section is about. We suffer so we can comfort others, and that comforting might just mean being with that person, just hanging out with them. Okay? So there's some other practical things I wanted to throw out. Okay, let me say two more things. This is Tim Keller Day. It's because he went to Bucknell. Anyway, Google Talks. If you go to Google on the page and you type in Tim Keller, Google Talks, the first one that comes up on the as a selection for YouTube is him speaking at the Google Complex. There's two choices. One is on marriage, and the other one is on this. I don't even know what it's labeled. I don't think it is labeled anything. Just pick the first one. And in that, he talks a lot about these people at Google. They're there challenging Tim Keller about, he's making an argument for the existence of God. And one of the big issues with people, it's a new issue, is this idea that how can there be a God who says he's loving when suffering is occurring? That's a huge issue for some people to get over. If that's something that you're dealing with, watch Tim Keller's Google Talk on that and take notes. It's excellent. Okay? Last thing I want to say is Watchman Nee wrote a little book. It's free online. I printed some of them off. I have some copies of just this section on suffering. I'm going to read just a couple highlights on this. And if it sounds something that's interesting to you, I encourage you to take it. It's chapter 8 in the book called The Normal Christian Worker. And if you type it in Google, it's about the 8th choice down for the free PDF version. Anyway, he talks about this idea. He says, unless we acquire a disposition to suffer for him, the work we will be about will be very superficial in quality. That's something you don't want to hear, right? I mean, you didn't come to church today to hear that in Philippians 1:29, it says, you're guaranteed to suffer. Okay? I watched several Joel Osteen videos this week trying to get ready, and you know, I just didn't hear him talk about that. And remember, he has 40,000 people listening to him. He didn't, again, what I listened to, I typed in suffering for all his things, and I searched and stuff. And it wasn't about Philippians chapter 1:29. It wasn't about you're going to suffer. His messages were about, I wish my brother was here to imitate him. He could do it perfectly. About, you know, God loves you and you're going to, I mean, it's all true. But when we neglect this idea that we're going to suffer, it's going to catch us off guard. And we're going to be like, where are you, God? Paul's saying, he's right there. That's how you're going to experience him, by suffering. So anyway, for those who are going to be workers, suffering is part of it. It says, What do we mean when we speak of having the mind to suffer? In the first place, let us clearly differentiate between suffering and the mind to suffer. To have the mind to suffer implies that we have willingly chosen the path of suffering for Christ's sake. It means we have a heart to endure affliction on his behalf. The question is not one of amount of suffering we may be called upon to meet, but of our attitude towards suffering we meet. There it is. It's not the more you suffer, the more you're being used. It's not that. It's about the attitude towards it. Are you willing to take on suffering? For instance, the Lord may have placed you in a circumstance where you are provided with food and clothing and a nicely furnished home. Does it not follow, if you have chosen to suffer for his sake, that you cannot continue to enjoy all the gifts he has given you? No. He says the question is not, are your external circumstances hard or easy, but is your heart attitude a settled one to endure hardship for his sake? Suffering may not be your daily portion, but it must daily be. You must daily be prepared to suffer. Again, just an attitude that, you know, is contrary to our culture. Okay, so here's the deal. You are going to suffer. That shouldn't surprise you because you are suffering. Okay, we're all suffering. The good news is this. Jesus has suffered. He can identify with you. Like Tim Keller said, get him involved in your life. Have him part of every part or every aspect of your life. As you suffer and as you are comforted, remember the point of it is to then comfort others. Look for opportunities to help others, to comfort others. That is you being like Jesus. And just so you know, here's an interesting point. When you do what you were made in the image to do, it produces joy. So if you want to take your suffering that just killed you and get joy out of it, go and comfort someone who has gone through that same experience as you. Walk through them, walk with them through that, and watch that person be comforted, and that will produce joy. I'm telling you, it happens. It's just, you take any quality that you were designed to have or be. For example, Jesus is generous. If we're generous with others, it produces joy in our life. Jesus is the comforter. If we comfort others, we get joy in our lives. Okay? Trust me on that. Look for opportunities to walk with people. Okay? All right, I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll continue on. God, thank you for this opportunity to go through something that isn't necessarily fun, but it's a reality. Yeah, again, it just blows my mind that 2,000 years later, we're still suffering every day. Thank you for your comfort. Thank you that we see that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all actively comforting those who believe. Pray that we turn to you and that we experience your comfort and then go and comfort others. In Christ's name we pray.